Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, who's in high school, or who's beyond high school? All right, what's delusion? You know the definition of delusion? Perception? Okay, delusion is something you believe to be true when it is actually not true. Misconception. All right, delusion is very similar to illusion, right? Alright, but delusion means that something you believe to be true when it's actually not true. You know, I'm getting excited because spring is here, and this year I have mixed emotions because my son is going to be going to college, and he plays lacrosse. I watched 4 years of him playing lacrosse. Who plays lacrosse here? Oh, wow. Okay, alright. Two girls. Huh? Girls, yeah, I like girls lacrosse better. Because in girls lacrosse, you cannot check the other person. No, you're wrong. The technique, you can't hit the other person. If you hit the other person, it's a foul. So it's very hard to play. It's speed and passing and all that, all right? But my son, he's going to be a senior this year. I have watched almost every single one of his games. So I really have mixed emotions because this is my last year watching him. He's going off to college. And college is like 3 hours away and I couldn't go to watch him play. Melbourne, my town, is traditionally known for its academics. It's never sport. So all these years, they have a pretty good team but not a very good team. The next town over, called Summit, they are one of the powers of lacrosse. So my son and I, we always talk. So the last 2 years, John said, gee, Dad, I wish we lived in Summit. Then more college coaches would come watch me play. It's true. Now, but this year, there's something very funny happened. In the Winter League, Melbourne was 7-0, beat all the other teams. Except when it comes to playoff, then we started playing some of the tougher opponents from another division. Then we lost both games, but they're close games. So I think Melbourne is good this year. So is that reality or is it my delusion? I don't know. I have to wait and watch the whole season go by and see how good the season is. Okay, so you don't know whether it's a reality or a delusion. Okay, another way, you say you're a Christian. And remember, Ephesians 4, right? It says, Paul said, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling that you have received. Or in the book of James, chapter 2, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith, but has no deed? Claims to have faith, but has no deed. In the same way, faith by itself without is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. A body without spirit is dead. So faith without deeds is dead. So you say you're a Christian. So is your life and deeds consistent with your faith? If it is, then you're a Christian, right? But if it is not, then maybe you're delusional. You say you're a Christian. You believe you're a Christian, but your action and deeds are not consistent with your faith, then you're delusional. Now, the reason I want to talk about this is because 3 weeks ago, there was a survey. This, I think they're quite famous, Pew Forum. They did a survey, okay, on religious and public life in the U.S., Pew Forum. You can go online, P-E-W. They interviewed 35,000 Americans. And remarkably, they found 51.3% of them say they are Christians. 51.3% of Americans say they are Christians. They're either evangelicals, mainline, or black Christians. What? No response? What do you think?
Wow.
Wow, awesome, right? You mean awesome or what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Wow, awesome. But then on the other hand, 51.3%, that's one in two people in America are Christians. Now, I think it's a fair statement to say if you say you're a Christian, then you believe in God, then you believe in eternal life, then you believe in Jesus as the Son of God and your Savior who died on the cross for us. If one in two Americans are Christians, we have 300 million, more than 300 million Americans. So that means over 150 million Americans are Christians. I don't see anybody knocking down the doors coming in. If one in two Americans are Christians, this place would be standing room only. And you guys who are up there singing, people will be jumping up and down, singing praises, giving thanks, having a great time. We have a lot more people now, right? But we still have plenty of empty seats here. What's wrong? So I went online and tried to do some more looking around, and then some study says, oh, 40% of Americans are Christians. And then there are other studies that says, oh, actually 20% of Americans go to churches. 20% of Americans go to churches. Mind you, not Christian churches. All churches. So if you believe that half of the people, 50% of the people are Christians, then maybe one in five of them go to church every Sunday. Well, maybe the study's wrong, right? I mean, sometimes study could be at fault, and it's not true. But I tell you, I believe the study is correct. That is, they go out randomly, they ask people. They ask 35,000 people, a lot of people, are you a Christian? And half of them said, yes, I'm a Christian. Just like SAT, you guys will eventually take your SATs. Those who are in high school or junior high or whatever. And you say, Mom, Dad, SAT is wrong. I only got a 600. I should have gotten a 700. Or if you got a 700, you said, I should get an 800. SAT is wrong. I'm sorry to tell you. You're wrong. SAT is a scientific test. It's a correct interpretation of your aptitude. It's very accurate. This study is accurate. Half the Americans claim that they're Christian. But hey, look, if I go to school, if I go to McDonald's, if I go to any Chinese restaurant, do I see half the people saying grace before meals? All right, maybe they said it so fast that before I notice, they're done. Or maybe as my kids used to tell me, oh, Dad, Mom, you know, at school we say grace with our eyes open. Okay, I take that, as long as you say grace. But we don't, right? In school or wherever, you don't see half the people saying grace. So something is wrong here, right? Say you are one of the 51% of the people who claim that you're a Christian. Now, this probably applies to those who will be going to college, okay? Doesn't really apply to you if you're still at home or in junior high or high school. Come Sundays. Well, actually, this one will apply to you guys too. Come Sundays, You said, well, I just, wow, especially today, right? You know, we move 1 hour, you know, Uncle Steve said that, 1 hour ahead. I just can't get out of bed. Last night, you know, I admit, I spent a little bit more time watching the video. I was on my computer. My parents wanted me to go to bed because it's Saturday, but I was talking to my friend online, and it's like, I can't, you know, I'm talking to all these people. I just can't. So, okay, I'm tired, you know. I can't really get up to go to church today. Yeah, one day, you know, there's nothing wrong. God understands. God understands. Okay, not going to church one day. Or when you're going to college, you live in a dorm. On Sundays, you said, well, you know, I just, you know, Sunday, I can't get out of bed. Because all week, I study hard. I study till like 2 o'clock in the morning. I had no rest. So, I think I deserve some, you know, God wants me to be healthy. So, I think I'll just stay in bed and not go to church. That's okay. I mean, you know, God's not going to, I'm a Christian. Not going to church one day. That's all right. You know, and also, you know, I used to go to church because my parents wanted me to go to church. Now that I'm in college, I don't like the people anyway at the church. You know, it's these people, they're either not friendly, they don't talk to me, or they're too overwhelming. They're all like hovering over me. I don't like the church, so I'm not going to go to church. God understands. You know, it's the people that cause me not to go to church. Are you a Christian? Well, let's see what Jesus had to deal with, right? Okay? Jesus, in Matthew 4, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Then, after he failed with this plot, he took Jesus to the pinnacle. And he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. The devil is very slick. The devil is very slick. He told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, go ahead. You can do it. Turn the stone into bread. He told Jesus the truth. You are the Son of God. But then, do something to disobey God. The devil is very smart. He tells us part of the truth. You're a Christian? The voice inside you? I'm a Christian. It's okay if I don't go to church today, if I don't go to fellowship one day, it's okay. The voice telling you, yeah, you're still a Christian if you do all those things. And here it is telling Jesus, you're the Son of God. But it's okay to disobey God. God wanted Jesus to fast, and then the devil tempted him to turn the stone into bread. He attacked Jesus' need as a human so that Jesus would not obey and finish the fast and rely on God to provide for him in due time. The devil said, fine, you're hungry. You're alone. Why don't you just go ahead? So easy for you. Turn these stones into bread. The reality is Jesus has to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. Just as we, if we are Christians, we have to be obedient to His command. But the devil is very smart. He reinforces the idea that you're a Christian, but it's okay. Do what you need to do. God understands. Another trick the devil uses is that he told Jesus the truth, that Jesus is the Son of God. But then he twisted God's word. He told Jesus, throw yourself down. God will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Ah, he omitted a few words. You know that? This was from the Bible in Psalm 91. If you read Psalm 91, he omitted, God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. He omitted that. To guard you in all your ways. If you live, if you walk in God's way, God will protect you. But if you don't walk in his way, you're not to be protected. I believe last time when I came, I told you my daughter broke her collarbone, right? You still remember that. Did I tell you she was all healed? Did I say that? I did say that too. Did I tell you she went skiing? She was going to go skiing? Did I tell you? I did, right? She did. She went skiing again. Now, as parents, you know, despite what you think about your parents, parents, when the person is 22-year-old, it's not much a parent can say. She knows. She knows that Lucy and myself, we're against it. But she's going to go anyway. She went to Wyoming, Yellowstone. She says, Dad, don't worry. This is going to be like this. Nobody there. You know, this is like the wilderness. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to take it easy. The first day, she called. She says, you know what? She says, I fell. She says, I fell on the same shoulder. She says, there's so many people. And they were like, you know, annoying me. So I tried to like slow down, but I slipped. She says, I think I'm okay. The next day, she told me, she said, well, it's a little bit swollen. She said, I don't think I broke it. But you can tell she was scared. She was scared. Now, I was scared too because she told me it's swollen, right? She said, I put my sling back on. I know it's big time if she has to put her sling back on. But she was still skiing, all right, with her sling back on. I didn't tell Auntie Lucy, you know that? I mean, I can't tell her, right? Because she's going to be worried to death. She'll want to fly to Yellowstone, okay? So I waited a day, and I said, Steph, how you doing? She says, no big deal. So I said, okay, I'm making you an appointment with a doctor. When you get back, go see the doctor. So I was like sitting on pins and needles for all those days. Eventually she saw the doctor. The doctor said, geez, the doctor said, what happened? Why are you here? I fell, okay. You know what? The x-ray showed that the bones are closer together. So Steph told me, she said, Dad, you know, maybe when I fell, it hit the bone and they got closer. You know, but that's very sad, you know. You know, you might laugh, and she laughed, and I kind of laughed. But if you don't learn, that God, I always told everybody, God works very hard in protecting Stephanie as she was growing up, okay? In your lifetime, if you don't learn this, you know, if you look at the scripture, you can't take it out of context, right? God will protect you if you walk in his way. If you don't walk in his way, there's not much he can do. He'll do the best he can. But eventually, you have to suffer. And if Stephanie, you know, she's here, and I'll say the same thing. If she doesn't really learn that if you take matters in your own hand and don't trust, you know, don't listen to God, one day, God would say, well, Steph, you know, I've done all of that. It's enough. Okay? But the devil is very, very tricky. He would twist the words around. He omitted these words. And he says, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Hey, eventually, when you come out to minister to people, you have to show them, they will ask for signs. And you may be able to do all these signs, to do all these miracles for them anyways. So try it now. Go ahead. Throw yourself down. devil is telling you too. You're a Christian, right? You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. But you know, I think my parents are annoying. Now, honestly, you do say that sometimes, right? Not all the time, but sometimes. Oh, they want you to go, they're always on my case, wanting to do my homework, wanting to study, I can't go out, I have to go to church. I have no life. I'm a Christian. Or you say, well, I'm a Christian, but you know what? My friends have all the cool things that I like. But my parents, they're so strict, they won't let me have them. I don't think God is fair. When I grow up, I'm going to make a lot of money, I'm going to get whatever I want. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, I live in America. I have my rights. I know what's best for me. I don't have to listen to my parents nagging. I can handle things by myself. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Once in a while, I lie to my parents. Especially when they ask me if I finished my work, I tell them, yeah, I did. I can go play my video game or get online or get on the computer. Just a little white lie. It's okay. I mean, it doesn't cause anybody any harm. God won't mind. I'm a Christian. I watch a lot of these stand-up comics on TV. You guys watch that? No? Too young. You guys? No? I guess my son is different then. He's atypical. Watch all these stand-up comics on TV. They're funny, you know? I know there are a lot of foul languages. I know. I still laugh because it's funny. As long as I don't swear, it's okay. My friends, they all swear anyway, but it doesn't affect me. It's okay. I'm a Christian. I try to be careful. I go online, I surf the net, I'm careful. I go to sites, good sites. I don't go to any bad sites, like YouTube. It's fine. Sometimes I had, you know, on YouTube, they have bad words. They have nudity. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't see them, but it doesn't affect me because I'm not addicted to it. I didn't mean to do it anyways. God knows. God understands. At college, I'm a Christian. I'm not quite the drinking age, but my friends, you know, when we go out on weekends, we have a few beers. I mean, I want to be with the crowd, you know. I'm old enough to handle it. I'm mature enough to know what I should do. I'm okay. There's no harm. Now, I'm not judging. I want to say, I'm not judging. God is the only judge. But so very often, our faith and our deeds need to be consistent. Remember James chapter 2, right? If a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, a body without the spirit is dead. So faith without deeds is dead. The devil has made a lot of Americans delusional. And he is trying to make us delusional, thinking that we are Christians, but in fact, our deeds and our life and our faith do not coincide. So, the devil is giving us a false sense of security to weaken our faith without us knowing it. The devil likes to tell us what we like to hear. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm doing good. I'm right. They're wrong. I have a good reason. It's not my fault. And I listen to commercials. Sometimes the commercials on radio, they get me crazy. I listened to recently a credit card commercial. People owe a lot of balances on the credit card. And so this commercial, the first thing said was, you owe a lot of money on your credit card. We understand it's not your fault. It's not easy right now. We can help you to get rid of it. The first thing, it's not your fault. When you have a credit card, when you charge whatever it is, you have to pay it off. It's your responsibility. But the first thing the commercial said is, it's not your fault. But we need to notice how Christ overcomes the temptation. He used scripture against the scripture that the devil quoted. If you read, go home and read Matthew 4 again. Jesus quoted scripture to refute the devil. And to combat the devil, that's what we need to do too. We need to validate our life as Christians. And our status as beloved children of God by validating against God's word. Our life has to be consistent with God's word. We have to obey God's word. So you think you're a Christian? You sure you're a Christian? Nobody can judge. Nobody can judge. It's between you and God. But you need to validate. You need to validate your standing by obeying God's words.